Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He is worthy of praise, isn't he? Hallelujah. He deserves all the glory, all the honor. Hallelujah. You love him this morning with your whole heart. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we'll continue with our look at a prophetic people, a prophetic church. In light of the Elijah ministry, Elijah, Elisha, hallelujah. And we already talked about that. Does this sound loud to you, or is it just me? That's all right. We talked about how Elijah had gone in, and he declared to Ahab and company that there was not going to be any rain until he said it rained. And so the dry season began, didn't it? And even though the dry season began for the land, God also had a preparation, a training ground for Elijah. And we must understand that if we want to move in the same context of a prophetic church, a prophetic ministry, that God is going to train us not the way we want, but the way he wants. If it's left up to the way I want, I'll pick and choose. Won't you? No, not me. I'm more religious than that. What, you can't hear me? Oh, my battery? No, my battery's not dying. Brand new, all charged up. What's it fading in and out? It sounds loud to me, but that's all right. Unless it's cutting in and out. Oh, okay. Are you all right this morning? So he's training us for purpose, okay? Like Joseph. Doesn't really matter where the picture is located and how it's painted. The bottom line is God has the same purpose. All right. And so then he sent him to a brook named Cherith. Remember that? And, you know, the first step there was that, you know, he didn't have to go, but he chose to go, all right? So just a little recap. Elijah obeyed, and remember the ravens. Anybody remember what ravens represented? They were dirty birds, weren't they? Unclean, unpleasant people in circumstances that we don't always care for. Wait, why would God ever put somebody like that with me? I always think about this. Absalom was chasing David out of the city. And Shimei, cursing him and throwing rocks. A Benjamite. Right? And I love how the Living Bible says that he kept pace with him. Kept pace. You know, stayed the course. Kept throwing rocks and, you know, we don't throw visible rocks, but we throw verbal rocks, don't we? Yeah. So anyway, but God was working on David, wasn't he? Yeah. You know, God was working on David. All David's mighty men wanted to slay Shimei. But David said, if God set him there to curse me, let him do it. Because God's working on me. So the ravens, they came and they provided his substance, right? Regardless of our circumstance, we must learn to wait upon the Lord for our daily bread. Amen. Wait upon the Lord. And the Bible says in another place, if you wait upon the Lord, he'll do what? Renew or exchange. See, this is the thing that we really have to come to an understanding, that God's in an exchange program. He's not trying to renew your old strength. He's exchanging it for his strength. So that you may declare like Paul, hey, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What did he mean by that? I can abound, or when things are going great, I know how to live it up. But when things aren't so great, I don't whine and complain about all my circumstances and situations. Because watch this, while nobody else was really eating well, Elijah was eating well from the ravens. All right? Now, I don't know if you follow the stock market or not, but man, the stock market took a big tumble the last week, right? But I didn't feel it. You don't have any stock? I have lots of stock. Geez, one time I had so much stock in General Motors before they went bankrupt in 2010, I rode that thing like an airplane going in the ground. But now I look at my 401k again and I'm like, doesn't matter. God knows what he's doing. It's all on paper anyway. Ravens. Everybody say it with me. Ravens will feed me if God sent them. Just realize what's going on. Amen? He delivers our daily bread, right? Just like the children of Israel out in the wilderness. Manna. All right? Glory to God. Hallelujah. But when things get comfortable for us, you ever been here? I was here once. And this is just, I'm telling a story on myself, but I always remember this. I had just gotten this, we were working in Warren, I think it was around 2000. No, it was before that. It was like 1998, 99, early 99. And I had just gotten a nice big raise. I mean, I was driving Cadillacs every day that I didn't have to pay for. And I mean, life was going good. And I'm telling you what, I was walking down, I was leaving work, and I was like, God, you've blessed me so much, I feel like a king. And all of a sudden, life took a upside down turn from that moment on. Was it the wrong thing to say? Be careful what you eat. No, God's not psychological. He don't care. You know, that's us. We're religious folks. Oh, be careful what you say. You might talk it into being. No. If you're in God's hands, I'm going to tell you what. He's going to deal with you exactly the way he wants to get what he wants. Are you with me? Yeah. We think if we think positive, everything's going to turn out right. I can go to a seminar in the world and think like that. My hope and everything has to rely on him. I'm way ahead of myself, but Elijah ran from Jezebel. You know what we'd have done if we were God? Well, he's got a fear spirit, so let's get rid of him. Don't be afraid. Let me tell you, you know what Paul said? We were fear of life and death when they were, I mean, you know, we get too religious sometimes. Do I think you should run around in fear? No, of course not. But this is the whole point of God training us to grow up. Are you with me? All right. So when we get comfortable, at the place where, oh, I forgot. What does Cherith mean? Does anybody remember? It means to cut. God's cutting a covenant, circumcision. And the thing about it is, the Greek word is, I think, peritomo or timo. And it literally means cut all around. How many know that God's cutting all around my life? He doesn't want a little cut in me. He wants to cut all the flesh away. Every bit. Yeah, all right. So when we get comfortable with where we're at, man, I got it made. God's just blessing my socks off. The brook dries up. The brook dries up. No more fresh word. No more spirit. Oh, hey, God's with me always. Nobody said he left you. Anybody remember this? Do you remember when Zechariah, John the Baptist's daddy, remember when he went in to carry out his assignment and the angel of the Lord showed up and said, hey, your wife's going to have a baby. And she was an old lady, right? And he didn't say anything, right? Even though if you read down further in the scripture, he ended up mute, didn't he? And you read, one day I was reading down the scripture and it says, because he didn't believe. And I was like, dude didn't even say anything. And I'm not sure what he didn't believe about, that his wife couldn't have a baby or, it's irrelevant. We can speculate all we want, right? But here's the bottom line. And he, you know, sometimes you come in to the presence of a high priest. Who's the high priest? Jesus. And he just doesn't say anything. Well, why would God be that? You ever read the book of Revelation? I think about chapter 8, I think it is. It says, and there was space of about a half hour, and there was no sound. Do you remember the days of Eli? It says that the word of the Lord was rare. Are you all right? God talks to me every day. Hallelujah. Change the world then. Your world first. All right? And the reason God dried the brook up or let the brook dry up was because he wanted Elijah to change. Anybody want to know why he left them there until the time it was to go or move? God will leave us in our circumstances until we learn to quit whining and complaining about our circumstances. Do you know what whiners and complainers do? They move locations that they want to go to. Do you know what God does? He'll move you to a location you don't want to go. So where did God send him? He sent him to Jezebel's area, didn't he? Jezebel. Our friend Jezebel. Are you all right this morning? And on Wednesday night, we had a sold-out crowd, couldn't find a seat. I think there was four of us. But we talked about where God sent him. And he sent him to the widow woman. The widow woman. And I like, you know, I always appreciate Corey and Steve and Steve and Corey because they always send me a text, and not always, I shouldn't say always, but they do a lot, and they'll say, hey, I never saw that before. I really like that, and I really appreciate that. But Steve was saying, he said, you know, I never correlated the widow woman the way the world would look at the church and how she is a widow without husband or without a father ministry. And as a widow, she does not cohabitate any longer other than, in this case, with her son. Right? She can no longer produce a seed. And when a church stops having a husband or a father ministry, it no longer can produce the seed that God wants. By the way, what seed is that? Seed of Christ. It's real easy. You know why God chose me? Remember, you know in Corinthians where it says, not many wise, you know, not many noble? That's why he chose me. I'm not the smartest dude. I think I say it like this. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But God understands, doesn't he? Are you all right? So, widow woman, right? And the church is looked upon by the world as not being able, and if you don't get what I get this line right here, not able to produce what they really talk about. Got a lot of good messages. Oh, you know what? Let's do this. I always kind of quote it, but let's read it. Turn with me. I have to find it. Isaiah. Let's see. Turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah 26, I think. Isaiah, because we're talking about, right, a widow woman bearing seed or producing the seed, right? All right, I'll turn it to your Bible, so I'll wait and I'll ask in a second. Tiff, I know how you feel as a school teacher. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Are you with me? You must understand, and I know you know this. You know, it's funny. I don't know, do this very often, but I picked up one of Brother Viner's books back there, and I was just flipping, and he had quoted out of the Amplified, and you've heard me say this. He said, I don't find it grievous to tell you something that you already know over and over and over again. And the reason, you know, I always like to add this. This is just me, because what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, because the preacher was wise, he sought out acceptable words that would do what? Goad us, prick us, encourage us. So the widow woman, right, can't produce what she really wants, right? And look, watch this. It doesn't matter if I go to the far end, what we would consider one side Catholicism, or all the way to the other side, which we like to call kingdom. From the world point of view, I don't see a difference. The unfortunate thing is, because a lot of folks in the church don't see a difference. Remember, Gideon's army, not everybody got to go out and hold the lamp. My brother Tim called me the other night, which he does on Thursday, and he calls it Thursday night church. Now, they have church on Thursday. He has to work. So him and I, we have Thursday night church on the phone. And he was saying how he liked what I said, that, listen, about instructions, you cannot fulfill what God wants if you do not follow instructions. But even if you do, it doesn't mean he's going to give you an assignment. We think, I followed instructions. And I said, so he asked me, he said, why do you think that is? I said, I'll tell you what it is. It's because we train people to live based on a reward system that they should get something for being obedient, never understanding that the obedience was the reward. Well, you know, God, I did everything you wanted me to, so shouldn't I? That's like just price of entry into the gate. All right. Here's my verse. I'm already sidetracked this morning. God help me. Are you ready? Chapter 26, verse 17. Like as a woman with child, that draweth near the time of her delivery, is in pain, and cries out in her pain, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. I always remember one time when my dad preached this, I heard him use the word gas. But Ephesians says this, don't be like little children tossed to and fro by every what? Wind of doctrine. All we've brought forth is what? Wind. Now someone could say, you know, there's a lot of people, they get saved. And I'm cool with that. I really am cool with initial salvation. But let me, I confuse people all the time when I ask them, are you really saved? If the Bible says, he who endures to the end will be saved. And I'm not trying to spoil them. I'm just trying to get them to, you know, most of you are too young. I always used to say just Uncle Terry and I, but now I can say Patty too, but we're a little older, right? But I can remember people when I was much younger would always say about how they're just going to go to heaven. God's going to just come back and Jesus is coming back and take us to heaven. And I would ask them, what heaven are you going to? The first, second, or third? And immediately they had struggles and trouble. Well, there's only one heaven. I said, well, then why did Paul say I was caught up to the third heaven? It messes our minds up because we really, really get spoiled by the, and when I say spoiled, not, you know, like a spoiled brat child, but spoiled in like ruins. Spoiled like sour milk, like an apple that goes bad. You know, bread that starts stinking, right? The yeast. Spoiled by the traditions of our own minds. Mindsets. And this is exactly why God took him, Elijah, to another place. But let me finish reading. Watch. Brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Is it any wonder why the world thinks the church hasn't accomplished what it says? Now, inside the church, we have our own religious activity, and we think, yeah, we still bury people. I'm not saying God never moves in the realm of miracles, because he does, but not anywhere near what I read in that Bible. Now, that doesn't discourage me. What that does, it causes me to continue to press. To be like Hannah and cry for a son, a child, a man-child, a corporate man. That I don't have to go through winter anymore. You'll get that in a second. Because in the winter, what do? Rest, sleep. The ground's resting and sleeping, isn't it? But God wants to bring forth life, springtime, summer, harvest. And we'll keep cycling through all the refreshings and every move of God for we've seen for the last 6,000 years. And most people relate only back to Zuzu, but I'm telling you what, God has something better, something greater. He's not trying to repeat. He's trying to produce. Are you all right? And you sang the song, so don't make yourself a liar. Are you determined? Have you made up your mind? Because if you have, God has a circumstance. People don't like this, but listen, the book of Revelation, he says, I chastise, I train, I develop those whom I love. But if you don't, let me do it. I always remember this. It never leaves my mind. I always remember when Brett Hull was on the Dallas Stars and they got Ken Hitchcock for a coach. Now, none of that means anything to you. And he was so used to being a high goal scorer and all this, but he wanted them to learn how to play defense, the whole team. And the reason was because they were adapting the way the league was playing. And so one time, he wanted to play what they called dump and chase. And so one time, Brett Hull, during the game, he came down and he just shot the puck in and he just let it go. He thought he was going to prove something to the coach. We're going to change you. But you know what the coach did to the star? No, I'm going to change you. And so he sat him on the bench until he got the message. Superstar, lots of money. Guess what Brett Hull did? He won his first Stanley Cup. The point is, our coach, our father, the husband, he's in charge. He just is. Let him work in our lives. Amen? The widow, right? Okay, so here we go. I want to just read this. Here we go. God cut off Elijah at Cherith. Now he's refining him and smelting him. Because where did he send him to? Zarephath. So once God cuts you, he wants to refine you. And he's going to refine you right in a barren place. How come everything isn't going so fantastic in the church? Why am I in a little old church where nobody hardly comes? Jeez, I told the guys the other night, and Tiffany, I said, listen, I always have said, I will preach in front of this church, even if nobody comes. I'll preach to empty pews. Because in my mind, they're not empty. It's what God wants. Are you all right? God cut him off at Cherith. Now he's refining him at Zarephath. And the reason he's refining him is, watch this. He's going to meet Ahab again. He's going to have another encounter. Only this time, God needs an increase in his life. More than what he had. See, when he walked in the palace and he said, hey, it's not going to rain. He thought he was something. I'm the head prophet. And look, the king didn't do anything to me. And oh, by the way, the king was looking for him for 3.5 years, wasn't he? Couldn't find him. Yeah, but he's still Elijah. Still wasn't where God wanted him. In his mind and in his heart. See, this is the part that the church just doesn't get. You could do all the miracles in the world. You could heal every sick person you see. But the real question I have for you is this. Will you be able to go to the cross when he tells you? Because that's all God wants. Life through sacrifice. Not life through religious activity. I told you this. Jesus healed a lot of people. They all died. He wants to stop the cycle. He wants a noonday to come. Where the sun never sets. Go read Revelation. Are you with me? I love you. So God cut him because he knew. And now he's refining him because he knew he was going to meet Ahab again. And the reason God does this, nobody likes this. God gives grace to the humble. But he resists when we're arrogant, when we think we know everything. Got an answer for everything. Are you with me? And I told you this. God always humiliates, humbles, and wounds. That's how he trains his prophets or his people. Oh, that's not right. I've never been in the military, but Steve, is that what they do in the military at times? I'm sure. I'm sure Brett Hall got the message. Are you with me? Those that follow sports, you ever watch a lot of teams that have a lot of talent and they don't ever produce anything? And the reason for that is if we don't check our pride at the door. Because you know what we'll do? We'll start marching around Jericho and we'll scream when we want. You know, we went around this wall 3 days in a row. What is the point? Follow instructions. Because if you can't now, what makes us think? Look, if I train my child how to take out the trash and it's someday when they get old enough, I don't have to tell them anymore, but they decide not to take it out. What point does that do them for the kingdom of God? That when you're now out of the training session, you just do what you want. Well, taking the trash out is a big deal. To God it is. It's not about the trash. It's about the instructions and the training of the heart. He's building a product, watch this, that lasts forever. That he doesn't have to wait to a certain stage in life that they'll pick and choose to do what they want. All right. Okay. I didn't see this going this way today. All right. What further wounding and humiliation to the pride of the prophet who would soon call down fire from heaven. See, if you don't get your attitude right, you might use the fire, the word, for the wrong application. God God commissioned Elijah, and he's commissioning an Elijah ministry, all right? And the reason is, do you remember Malachi chapter 4? It's for, and then Jesus said it, to what? Restore. And the thing that he wants to restore, watch this, fathers to the sons, sons to the fathers, he wants to restore the home life. And when he uses the word sons, it does not mean gender, it means children or male and female, boys and girls, sons and daughters, to the father ministry. And the reason for that, watch this, is so that the church doesn't look like a widow to the world, that she can actually produce the very life she likes to declare. Are you with me? All right. Okay. And look, in the progression, God sent her to the widow woman that he can now implement the change that God did at Cherith, and the refining, he can now implement it in the widow woman. Are you with me? All right, so turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. And, oh, by the way, I'll just say this. Remember, let's go there. Do you remember what she was doing when he showed up? And I talked about this the other night, and I'm sorry if I'm repeating too much because most of you weren't here. And I'm not really sure all of you will listen to it on the audio. But she was gathering sticks, wasn't she? Tell me what sticks are. It's wood. But they're sticks, and they're usually what? Dead, dried out. Now, she was really referring, and this is sad, it's a sad commentary, she was referring to us. Not true. Watch. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And he said he prunes the tree, the husbandman, the father. He cuts it, right? Everything that doesn't produce, right? He does what? I told you, you don't even have to cut the limbs off, dead limbs off of a tree. You just have to send the right wind. You'll get that in a second. And it'll just blow it out of the tree. And so then you can go out and gather up sticks, right? And we know that a little further down, I think we'll read it, is she actually was gathering two sticks. And I don't have time to do this, but go read Ezekiel, right? I think it's like chapter 37, which most of us know chapter 37 about the dry bones in the valley, can these bones live, right? But read a little further down and he talks about two sticks and he names them. And he names them Judah and Israel. But he told Ezekiel to do something with those two sticks. And I almost jumped. I almost had a little Holy Ghost jigger just thinking about what he wants to do. But he wants to take and combine or bring together all the house so that the house can produce what the creation is calling for. But it cannot happen. Everybody listen to me. I'm getting loud now. It cannot happen as long as we are separated or divided. Can't produce what God really wants. It's easy. It rolls out of my lips like, you know, spitting. Not my will, but your will, God. It's easy to say, isn't it? But until we let God cut us and refine us, we'll be a widow woman picking up sticks for the fire. No, by the way, she was just going to do what? Make a little something, and her kid were going to what? Die. Sounds like the church. I'll just die and go to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm not belittling, and I'm not making fun. But and I can't even tell you the time frame. He said, no man knows the day of the hour. He says, just be ready. And our problem is we never get ready. All we ever do is we just say, well, you know, let's pick up sticks. eat a little. Drink, eat. Today, for tomorrow, we die. I love this. I love this word. I don't know about you, but, you know, if I can use this term, it turns me on. It does. It gets me going. So God commanded a widow woman without even telling her what she had to do. And when she began to do it, she didn't even realize what she was doing. You ever been there before? I've been there. Why did I do that? Oh, geez, I can look back now and say, hey, thank you, Jesus. Now, so he went, verse 10, let's pick it up. I'm jumping right in. I'm going to try and be done in the next, only because of the weather, and Chris and Amy have to get driving. And are you all right? Verse 10. Let's read 9 while we're here. Might as well read 8. Because I like 8. The word of the Lord came unto him. I like that, don't you? Do you remember how many times did I say that the word of the Lord was mentioned? 11 times. 11 being the number of what? Disorder or confusion. The reason it came 11 times to Elijah was about to disorganize and confuse the whole political and religious systems that were in existence right then. This is the point of the Elijah ministry, a prophetic church, a prophetic people. It's to disorganize all the confusion that goes on right now. Well, how come we can't do that right now? You want me to be brutally honest or just nicely honest? I'll be nicely honest, because if I was brutally, I'd have to detail it. It's because we want things our own way. And we just won't follow the word of the Lord. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Anybody remember what the word dwell? I said it on Wednesday, so it really means to marry that situation. Go read it. It uses the word marry. Marry the situation. That's what it means. Wait a minute, you're sending me to Jez's hometown area and you want me to, you know, unite there? I do. Why? Because I'm going to refine you. I'm going to smelt you. Anybody know what smelt? It doesn't mean with your nose. It means melting. I'm going to change your home, your whole form, that when I get done with you, you're going to look like a puddle of nothing. And I'm going to pour you into something. God is the coolest in the world, isn't he? And you know what I really love about the Lord? Even if I say no sometimes, he still says yes. Well, how do you know that's the case? I'm still here. I don't mean breathing. I mean I'm still here. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her, and look at what he said. He said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, I read this the other night, and I talked about it a little bit. But I told you, watch. If anybody receives a prophet, he gets a what? Prophet's reward. And if you give someone a drink, it says a cold cup of water, doesn't it? What was he asking for here? Fetch me a drink, right? It was the middle of a drought. He's telling her to go get water. The brook already dried up. Now, Steve, don't say anything, or Dale or Tiffany. So, anybody want to tell me what a prophet's reward is? Okay. Tell him, Steve. Whatever the prophet says, it comes to pass. That's the real reward. It doesn't get any better than that. And the coolest thing is, are you ready? This is what the Lord showed me. Steve texted me the other day. And when he texted me, this is, I didn't get it. I had said this. What day did you text me on? Thursday or Friday, whatever day it was. A cup of water is just the word of God that refreshes the person who's always giving the word. I needed a drink, and he was able to give it to me. Are you with me? And if we receive a prophet, are you saying you're a prophet? I don't say. I'm lucky God even talks to me. But you get what God's saying. In this context, we're all to be a prophetic people. Remember what Paul said? I would that you all would prophesy. Now, because the church has misused and abused what the term prophets are, we lose track. Look, you can just be prophetic by declaring the word of the Lord by reading your Bible. I always loved what Brother Viner used to say. How many of you want a word from God? Read your Bible. You'll get a word. But the problem is we Pentecostalized everything, didn't we? And this is what we've done, because we say that God, where Paul wrote, so everyone would be a prophet, right? We then think that we have the office or the ministry of prophet, and it's not what he was saying at all. It's like instruction, right? Just follow it. You don't know if you'll get an assignment or not. It's just being obedient. That's the reward, all right? Okay, but he said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel, just a little bit of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God lives, I have not a cake. Interesting word, cake here. I don't have a cake. I'm not prepared at all. I don't have anything made. I have the ingredients, but I'm not ready to give it to you. But a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks. She didn't say five. She didn't say ten. She said two. Two sticks that I may go in and dress it for my son, that we may eat and we may die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But watch this. But make me thereof a little cake first. Now this word cake's a different word than the last one. And there's a reason for it. This one is the same. When the angel, when we get over to chapter 19, I think, fed Elijah and gave him a cake. Well, we call cake, it's probably a biscuit. But it was made on a coal, or a live coal, or a living coal. It's the illumination, it's the word made light. It's the bread brought to life. I always remember this. And the reason is because the Lord showed me this many years ago when they were using anthrax. They would put it on envelopes and send it in the mail, and it would make you sick and it would kill you and all that. And the interesting thing is the word for live coal in the Greek is anthrax. What's your point, preacher? There must be a word that brings life. It's a word that comes. It's living. It's not widow. It's not dead. It must be alive. In other words, the word must do what you say it does. Are you with me? I'm gathering two sticks. Okay, and he said, make thereof a little cake. And I like this word. And it's a key word. Everybody listen to me. first. He told her to get him a drink. He told her to go get it. Make me a cake. Or get me some food. And what did she say? Didn't have anything. I don't have anything. Anybody ever voice these words? I don't have enough. Seriously. Oh, my iPad. I should have touched it. I changed my picture. I have 4 grandbabies now going in the snow. I liked the last one. I had the twins and we were sitting in the pool. Are you with me? He said, bring it first. And when I read that, immediately it comes to me, Matthew 6:33. I bet we can all quote it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? All these things shall be added unto you. Wait, I don't have anything. And all he did was ask her, out of your lack, bring me first. Are you with me? I don't know if I have enough money to pay this bill, pay that bill. Jeez, I used to say that. I have one of the most wonderful stories. Here I was working at General Motors, living in a rental house. And I had an old lawnmower that my dad just by default left me because he moved to Massachusetts. And it was always breaking down. And I was never, ever satisfied with my circumstance. And one day I said to my wife, everything I own is junk. And little Selah, Danielle, about the same age, looked up and said, no, Daddy, you have Jesus. True story. And I didn't change overnight because I don't change easy. But I remember many years later, driving to work and getting off at the Van Dyke exit when God said to me, I want you to give $100 tomorrow at the convention. I said, okay, God, when I go home, I'll ask Cindy, and if we agree on it, because we had this little system, what we would say, ask God how much to give, and blah, blah, and we didn't have a lot of money. $100 doesn't seem like anything to me today. Like $100 is like going to the restaurant and paying for like 2 meals. And I went home that night and I forgot all about it. And I went back to work, and I mean, it was deja vu. And I heard the Lord say, give $100. I said, oh my God, I forgot to ask her. And he said, I never told you to ask her. He said, I told you to give it. The prophet, he told her what to do. What the widow didn't realize, oh my God, can you hear this? What she really didn't realize was she was a widow and that she couldn't produce something out of nothing. All she could see was the blessings that God would give her. Handful of meal, cruse of oil. Aren't we supposed to think positive? No, we're supposed to think kingdom. And I don't mean arrogant kingdom. No life behind it. And to finish out that story, I gave $100, and right in the middle of one of the services, they stood up and said, hey, we've got a little gift for you. We've got 2 hotel rooms for you so you don't have to drive back and forth to Port Huron, and we took a little collection up. And in the envelope was $127, and God said to me at that very moment, you can't outgive me. And I'm going to tell you what, it's still, I haven't learned the lesson. Oh, you didn't learn a lesson? No, I haven't learned the lesson how to give when you have nothing. Because it's easy to give out of your abundance. The little widow woman with what? A couple of mites. She threw in the collection plate, what? More than all the rest. That's the standard that Jesus has set. Bring me a little cake first. Are you with me? Until you and I really live by that principle. Now, watch this. I'm sure you could go to some churches and they could use this as a motivation tool to extract more money out of you. Me personally, I don't want any of your money. I could care less. I've already been accused of stealing the money from here. I don't even take a salary. Because from my point of view, unless every single one of us that have come into this room fulfills what God has called, I will consider myself someone who has missed my opportunity to see your lives change. First, bring it first. We must, and you know, I told you this story. I don't even know why I'm telling stories today, but let me tell you. I had a friend who used to tell me all the time, you don't need to give no tithe and offering. Tithe's not even in the New Testament. I said, yeah, you're right. It's not really in the New Testament. Other than, you know, Jesus said this one little thing about tithe, you know, don't forget about undoing the rest. But let me tell you something. If you can't even give 10%, don't even think you can give your all. And the whole point of what he was trying to get her to understand was this. You have to give what you got to fulfill what God has in your life. I don't have anything. Never understanding. She had met the one that had everything. Now let's finish reading. Here we go. I got to get moving because I'm all right. He said, bring me first and bring it unto me after make for thee and for thy son. It's a wonderful principle, right? Take care of God first. Okay, here we go. For thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. Now, I love God in his untils, because he's only pointing to one day, the day of the Lord. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, oh hallelujah, even though she was dead, she understood, if I ever want to change direction of what's going on, I must learn to follow instructions. I must obey. She had no idea whether Elijah was obedient or not. All she did was come to an understanding that she had to be. See, we're always looking for an escape clause, especially in the church. Well, the preacher don't do it. No, 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 no. Ask yourself a different question. Does Jesus do it? I didn't say did. I said does. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. Look, 15 declared what was going to happen. 16 declared that it happened. It was a fulfillment. The prophet's reward. The word came to pass that she obeyed by giving out of her lack. God made it not fail. Look, we can't feed this multitude. Look, I don't know how that God's going to bring forth a man-child, a corporate prophetic son that's going to do it. But all he ever asked us to do was to bring it to him first. So that he can take a two-piece fish dinner and five loaves of bread and feed a multitude. That's all he wanted to do. And when he got done, there was leftovers. It didn't fail. I have a verse I want to read. Let me see if I can find it. I think it's in Joshua 21. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. Watch this. It all came to pass. In other words, nothing failed. It happened. And I'm here to declare to you this morning that every word that God has ever spoken in that Bible concerning His corporate man, His Elijah ministry, His man-child, His son, His, watch this, seed, Christ, it will come to pass. Yes, nothing can fail. Yes, how do you know that, preacher? Because Peter wrote this. He said the seed was incorruptible. And that means the seed can never die. It says Christ, not just Jesus, but Christ dieth no more. That's what he said. Are you with me today? God knows how to multiply, doesn't He? He knows how to take nothing and make it everything. I don't want the other side where we... You know, it's interesting. I got to read this. Anybody read their Proverbs this morning in the Living Bible? Maybe I should have asked, did anybody read their Proverbs? Let me just read to you, all right? I'm just reading. Now, I can't make this stuff up. I don't know how it landed on today. The interesting thing, if I wanted to talk about two sticks, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is verse 1 of chapter 11. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. In other words, when two sticks are independent and on their own, it can never be joined together and produce what God wants, a man-child. I can't make it up. It just happened to land today. I didn't make it. But I wanted to talk about today. Bring me first your nothing, and I'll produce everything that I declare. How cool is that? Watch this. Let me see. Verses, I'm reading out of the Living, so you don't have to go. Just listen. Just listen, all right? Just focus your mind. Listen, okay? Here we go. It is possible to give away and become richer. I'm telling you, this is today. I'm not making it up. It is possible, it is also possible to hold on too tightly and lose everything. You know, I can't make that profit or bake cake because, you know, I got to bake it for me and my two children or my one children or whatever it is. Two sticks is what I was going to say. Are you with me? Here we go. Yes, the liberal man shall be rich. By watering others, he waters himself. People curse the man who holds the grain for higher prices, but they bless the man who sells it to them in the time of need. If you search for good, you'll find God's favor. If you search for evil, you'll find His curse. Trust in your money and you will go down. Trust in God and you'll flourish as a tree. The fool who provokes his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left. He shall be the servant of a wise man. Godly men are growing trees that bear life-giving fruit. And all who win souls are wise. We think that means to go out and find the guy on the street corner. You know what I say? I want to see God win your soul through me in the full dimension. That's winning a soul. Watch, I'm saved, but I'm being saved, and I yet shall be saved. That's my faith. Are you with me? That's my hope. I thought you were already saved. I already went through this. He who endures to the end. I got to go through every, watch, line upon line, precept upon precept. I used to think when I was a kid, when I heard the preacher say, here a little, there a little, I thought they were just ad-libbing. And I read it one day and it says that. And I've been in a lot of my life, here a little, there a little. Because God's after something. Are you with me? Even the godly shall be rewarded on earth, how much more the wicked. All right, I'm almost done. I promise you, I'm almost done. I know you're probably getting tired and bored. Remember Jesus, he fed the people with fish and bread. But he also, watch, this is another picture of it never failing. He turned the water into wine and it never ran out. He saves the best wine for last. Let me tell you, there's an anointing of who he is that the church has never seen before. It's an unlimited, never fails anointing flowing out of a people. Watch this. Two sticks that have come together. A Judah, man-child. Israel, a harvest. Because he wants to show forth the manifold wisdom of his church, his instrument to the creation of what he's really after. You know, I just get up and go to church every week. No. God called you for his purpose. There's a continual supply. There's a continual supply. The woman, the church, will receive the prophet's reward. She does. All right? God's whole desire, are you ready, to have a prophetic ministry is to revive and restore what's dead. And what's killed it? The traditions of men. Anybody remember this story? Remember when Jacob took off with his two wives, Leah and Rachel? What did Rachel do? God stopped them dead in their tracks, right? Because Rachel did something. She stole her daddy's seraphim, household teraphims, whatever they were, household idols, right? Mindsets from the past. And then she hid them, right? Because her daddy showed up. I want my stuff back. Adam always shows up looking for his stuff. Because God understands Adam's stuff is not needed. My mindsets. Where's the wickedness? It's in high places. Strongholds? High places. The hardest thing for most of us to do is to change. And I'm not talking about changing for other people. I'm talking about changing for God. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? I love you. God's called us for a great and mighty thing. If you went away today with nothing, go away with this, that God can produce. And it's not to make you rich. It is to make you rich. It's to make you rich in him. Come to him first. Give him his first. See, we think we're, you know, God provides for us. He really does. He's done us well financially. You know, most of us, we're doing all right. And we're okay. But let me tell you, seriously, go look at wealthy people. right? We don't even compare. Seriously. Well, I don't want to be like that. I do. Because if I can really learn how to use it for the kingdom of God, it won't have a hold on me anyway. Just saying. I literally told my brother this the other night, and I'm going to quit. I got 2 minutes. I literally told him this the other night. I don't even know how it was said, but something about the 20-year-old kid that won like $500 million, right, in lottery money. I said, you know what I would do with it? I was walking at work the other day, and there's a lot of working poor people. And this one woman, one time, she stopped, and she was, this was like 3 years ago, you know, and I saw her, you know, and she goes, oh, my heart, it just beats out of control. Well, I didn't say a word because I knew what it was all about. But a $100,000 operation, she might not be able to afford. Sure, I'd like to be really religious and lay my hands on her and heal her. Yeah. But in the tangible meantime, how's that? I like that phrase, don't you? Are you with me? But I think God's talking to me. Because, geez, if I had the lottery, I could do it. But that's abundance, isn't it? But God's trying to teach us how to do something out of nothing. Anybody want to know why? Simple. So he gets all the glory. Let's stand. Do you know why God doesn't raise up, seriously, mighty men and women like faith healers like he used to anymore? And he'd rather do it in a corporate setting? Watch this. Here's why. No individual gets the glory. All the fragments that are overflowing comes from God. It doesn't fail. Are you with me? Are you all right today? Did I make any sense to you today? Did you learn anything today? Can I ask this question? Is it going to change you today? We'll find out, won't we? Change doesn't come easy. It doesn't come overnight. I'm a firm believer in this, really, seriously. You know, you can be ugly with me for the next 2-3 years, but I always hope if I can plant a seed somewhere along the line, God's just going to trigger it. And you're going to have an epiphany like I have all the time. Jeez, I learned that like 10 years ago. I'm just getting it. And I've come to this realization, God can outwait me. My time is short, his is not. And I'd rather learn it on this side of the grave. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, Jesus, for your word. God, it's real. And it's true. It's winter, I understand that, but you cause winter to come. But God, even in the middle of the winter, if we read Proverbs 31, the wife, the woman, the church, she knew how to clothe the house, keep them warm with the scarlet, the blood-washed life of Jesus, that we can see the fruit manifest out of nothing. Dead sticks, dead bones brings life in Christ. If we bring it to you first, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, as Chris and Amy, it was good to have them here today. As they travel home, Lord, watch over them. Keep your hand upon them. Just give them safe traveling mercies, and we'll even take a miracle and let the sun come out and warm everything up. Lord, watch over Nathaniel as he flies back tomorrow. And Lord, bring comfort and peace to my aunt and my cousin and the whole family. And it's never easy, God. I understand it completely. It's never easy. I tell you, I told my kids this when I told them that Uncle Norman had passed away. I said, doesn't matter if someone's young or old, still not easy. No matter what anyone says, no matter what the church says, God never designed man to die. Adam made a choice. Because who in the world would produce something other than greedy people that it would fail at some certain point? But God never desired man to fail. And it's the traditions of men that have kept us crippled in our minds. Amen? Bring it to him first so he can produce something out of nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.